Well, that just wasn't very nice. We have a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, Robbie and I shot that video after we had heard a great, great, great testimony that 73 Hindu people who had never heard the gospel before had just become brothers in Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we were in such a good mood, we just decided to do that video, and that was a lot of fun. But one of the things I love about India is those kind of opportunities for cultural differences and translation, and even in spite of all the barriers, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so today, guys, the main thing is the Holy Spirit empowers all believers to do what Jesus did. And it's very ironic. I did this preaching calendar last year. I do this about a year in advance. I had no idea we're going to be going to India during this time. But the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do what Jesus did. If you guys turn to John chapter 14, 15 through 17. 15 through 31, three times Jesus says something. And what I learned in seminary is in a passage of Scripture, if something is repeated, and something is repeated, and something is repeated, it's something that the writer of the Bible wants us to get. So three times Jesus says the same thing in this passage. In John 14, 15 through 17, he says this, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And then verse 21, he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." And then in verse 23 through 24, it says this, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. If my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So three times Jesus says the same thing. He says, if you want to show that you love me, the greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to show that, obey his commands. You mean our words aren't just enough? No, Jesus says three times, if this is how you show love for me, you obey my commands. Well, the Christians for the last 22,000 years have been faced with a problem. Big problem. What if I don't want to do it? And not only that, but what if I can't do it? What if I don't have the ability to actually do what Jesus says to do? And not only that, what if I don't want to? Those are two problems facing every person in here. Every person who calls themselves a Christian faced with those two problems. When Jesus says, "If you love me, obey my commands." Well, what if I can't, and what if I don't want to? Well, when I was a freshman in high school, back in the dark ages, it was junior high school. We had first through sixth, then seventh through ninth was junior high school, and then 10th through 12th was high school. So when I was a freshman, I was in junior high school. I wasn't in high school. And I ran track. I wasn't a great runner. I was okay, but wasn't a great runner. And my coach took a bunch of us ninth graders to Lafayette High School to watch a high school track meet because there's some runners there he wanted us to watch. So Lafayette was really good back then. And my coach showed me that Lafayette High School had a state championship runner, a 400-meter dash. That's one lap around the track. One of the hardest races that's what I ran. I ran the 400. And they had a state championship guy. He's the first guy in Kentucky state history to run the 400 under 50 seconds. Now, it's been done a lot now, but back then, that was a big deal. And so the 400 was happening, and they lined up at the starting line, and Lafayette's runner was there. And the gun went off, and he took off, and he started running. And by the time he was a quarter of the way around the track, he was already out in front of everybody, taking these huge strides. And as he went and went and went, and he came around, and for the home stretch right there, he just turned on the afterburners. And he actually that day he broke his own personal record, ran a 48.1. second. Now, that doesn't mean much to you, but Olympics run like 43, 44. So this high school guy was 4 seconds off in Olympic time. It was amazing. And as he passed the finish line, He collapsed. And just collapsed because he was on his last legs. He had given everything, and he collapsed, and he was laying there. We thought he was dead. Thought he had some, and then he rolled over and vomited right on the track. And my coach goes, "Kibler, I want you to do that." And as I watched his teammates pick him up and cart him, drag him off the track, two thoughts went through my mind. Coach, first of all, there's no way I can do that. I can't run a 48.1 high school track record. I can't do that. My best time in college was 52. Okay, well, so in junior high, I was probably running 55, 56. There's no way I could do that. And second, watching them cart this guy and cleaning up the vomit on the track, said, I don't really know if I want to. I can remember thinking that. And that's the way a lot of Christians are when they're faced with the commands of Jesus. They look at something, they're like, there's no way I can do that. And I've seen what happens to people that actually do what you want them to do, God. And I don't think I want any part of it. And that may be you this morning. It certainly has been me in my life. But I've got good news. I've got good news. Because you're exactly right. There is no way that you can do it. There is no way you can follow the commands of Jesus. And not only that, there's no way that we'd even want to. The reason isn't because you're some kind of stubborn, resistant, making a choice. No, the problem is that we're fallen creatures. And that every one of us is in open and active rebellion against God. That's the default state of humanity. Because of the fall, back in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, we became fallen creatures with rebellion and animosity towards God. So that we don't want to do what Jesus says. And not only that, we can't. It's impossible. Okay? So that, but there's good news. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What the Bible tells us is that you and I can't do what Jesus wants us to do. Not only that, we don't want to, and we can't do anything about that. However, when God invades your heart, when the power of the Holy Spirit changes that, he moves in and he changes you to both want to do God's will, to want to follow Jesus' commands, and to make you able. Okay? He does this two ways. Number one, he enables us by giving us passions and gifts. This is how he makes us able to do what Jesus wants us to do. It's supernatural. I love to preach. I'd rather preach than do anything. I really would. When I received a call to ministry, I looked at God and said, God, I will preach as many times as you will put an audience in front of me. If that's 10 times a day, I'll do it because I love it. It's kind of like asking a bird to sing or a fish to swim. That's how I feel about preaching. I love it. And he's given me that passion and given me the gift for that, and I love that. The things that you don't think that you can do, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do them. It works in supernatural ways. Several months ago, you guys probably remember if you were here, we received word, devastating news from India, that our orphanage and our school that we've been supporting for 5 years now had been evicted. The Hindu landlord, can I say pain in the rear from the stage? Can I say that? He's a real pain and has made life tough for our kids and for the school. And he went and threw them all out on the street, said, get out of here. And we received word from that. A bunch of orphan kids. Who would do that to a bunch of orphan kids? Well, there's only one option, and that they had to have their own land. But there was no way. They're orphan kids. They don't have any money. And we're in a rich congregation. I mean, there's 250 of us. I don't know about you, but I don't have 15 grand, 20 grand laying around. Maybe you do. I don't. We don't as a church. I know that. There was no way it could be done. No way. And we got this news that these children and everything have been evicted. Guys, these aren't just pictures to me. I know these kids. I've been there 4 times. I know these kids. I know these people. I know how much work they put into this, to saving these kids. And we got together as a church staff and as leadership. What do we do? We can do a fundraiser, yard sale, but that would take, 3 weeks. And right now, they're out on the street. And John Kelly said, guys, we got to do something now. We can't wait 3 weeks. We got to do something now. And the only thing we could do right then was make a Facebook announcement. That's it. That's the best we could come up with. That was all we could come up with, was make an announcement on Facebook, and maybe some people will get together and donate enough to get them their own land so they don't have to deal with the fear of being evicted by a landlord living on the streets. Well, that didn't seem like a very good strategy. But within 2 days, we'd raised more than $15,000 to get these kids and the school and the orphanage own land so they don't have to worry about being evicted ever again. See, what we think is impossible, God works in us to make possible. And this is my belief, and I believe that Scripture backs me up on that, is that the second that we got that news, the Holy Spirit went throughout this church and begin working on you and preparing you to give and give sacrificially. That's what I believe. I don't believe that any of us gave $1 towards that without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we did. I believe, because I've seen Facebook fundraisers before. They raise like $5, $10. They don't raise 15 grand. And I believe that the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit went through this congregation and began to work on us to give that, so that when the call went out, we responded. See, God works in us to both will and to make us and to do what He wants us to do. This pastor's conference that I was so concerned about, you guys saw the picture. We're expecting 100, over 175 showed up. Back, like I said, a lot of these pastors had to borrow money to travel. They slept on the floor without blankets, just so that they could have some kind of pastoral training to do ministry as they're calling. I wasn't even worthy to stand next to them. But 2 days before we left, 2 days before we left, I was talking with Robbie, looking at expenses and everything, and he said, are you bringing any money with you? I said, well, we're planning on bringing $500 or so to put towards food and everything like that. And he said, he goes, okay, well, we can do that and everything. But 2 days before, all of a sudden, we started getting people giving. About $4,000 showed up completely unprompted. You guys can bear witness, I did not ask for a penny. But about $4,000 showed up, both online and just given to us, to take over there. I had no idea why. When we got there, we found out the cost of the conference and the cost of the revival meetings was a lot higher than they had budgeted. And then $4,000 covered everything. See, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God prompted people, even before we knew we needed it, prompted people to give. It's amazing. And so God works within us to both will and to act according to His good purpose. And all you have to do is be open to it, people. That's all you have to do, is be open to the Holy Spirit's leading, and He will lead you to do the very things Jesus Himself did. But He doesn't just make us able. He makes us willing. He makes us willing to do it. So it's not a begrudging thing, but it's a love, a passion that comes from deep down in here to do the will of God. Not just to begrudgingly do it, but to love it. 15 years ago, you'll find this hilarious. 15 years ago, I hated missions. I had never been on a mission trip before, but I was an expert on them. I knew they were stupid. I knew they were just parties for people. I knew that they were just worthless, you know, vacations for Christians to go on to make themselves feel better about themselves. That was my opinion on missions 15 years ago. 25 years ago, I even hated the church. I didn't want to be a part of the church 25 years ago. 13 years ago, I didn't even care about orphans. I really didn't. I had never even considered foster care or supporting foster care or even caring about children that didn't have parents. Never. I didn't care about any one of those three. I didn't care about missions. I didn't want to be part of the church, and I didn't care about orphans. And so now I'm a pastor who does mission trips and loves orphans. Why? Because God has changed me. Through the power of his Holy Spirit has changed me to love the things that he loves, and he will do the same thing for you. It's not a grudging thing for me to be a pastor or to go over and do missions. I love those things with every fiber of my being, and when it comes to caring for orphans and caring for children without parents, you don't have to even, if any one of you guys wants an earful for about 5 or 6 hours, ask me about orphans, and I will talk your ear off because I'm so passionate about it. And that's the Holy Spirit of God working in me and in you and in this church to love the things that Jesus loves. We can't do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. See, God shows us the futility of doing things that the world thinks are important. He shows us the futility of doing things the way that the world doesn't. He shows us the futility and the hopelessness of embracing this world's values. And he turns our hearts away from them and turns us towards the things that we're supposed to value, that we're supposed to be passionate about. When Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, many people say, I can't do that. And not only that, but I really don't want to. And the Holy Spirit invades and changes your he gives you the ability to do it through your gifts and your passions, and he changes the fact that you want, makes you want to do that because you see how beautiful and amazing it really is. That's the whole work of the Holy Spirit on us. He's shown me the utter joy of doing just that. He's shown me the joy of seeing my family connect with people of different skin colors and cultures and races, all through the unifying power of the gospel. It's amazing. I look at America right now and how divided we are, how the racial tensions are at an all-time high. And then pull up the last picture there, Mike. And I see this. I see white people and brown people and black people all in one photo, unified by the gospel and our love for Jesus Christ. And I see the only answer for the division, strife facing our country right now is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the church, sees no skin color, sees no cultural differences. At the foot of the cross, we're all equal in God's sight. There's no white, black, brown. There isn't any of that. And that is the Holy Spirit changing us to love what he loves, which is that right there. Those people are my brothers and sisters, are my friends. And he's shown me the power of his gospel to reach lost people. Shown me the effect of faithfulness on my family. He's changed my stubborn, resistant heart into one that wants to do his will and loves his will. And he'll do the same thing for you. Without the Holy Spirit, that's impossible. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do that which we didn't think we could do, which is to love Jesus by obeying his commands. Only the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. So I want to invite the band, come on back up. I want to invite you guys to worship this awesome, holy God. And right now, I want to ask you, what are you telling God that you can't do? What are you, just like me watching that runner, what are you looking at that Jesus wants you to do so I can't do that and not really sure I want to either? I want to ask you to surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow him to begin working in you to change you to will and to act according to what he wants you to do. Believe me, he will do it. I have faith in that. Open yourself up to the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. to his molding and his powerful influence on you, and you'll be living a very radically different and powerful life full of the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you to stand, and let's worship.